let's turn to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. Last week I talked about our culture and that we as a nation are in a desperate need for a real revival. I mean a revival. Our nation needs a revival. Our nation really needs a revival. Amen. All right, hopefully by the end of the sermon, we're going to do a little bit better than that. But we do, we need revival. We have allowed ourselves to accept things that not even a few years ago are completely unacceptable. Things that the Bible clearly speaks about. And just the way our entertainment is, the way our education is. All these different issues just point to something. Like I said last week, we're like the frog in the kettle. The water just gets a little bit hotter and warmer. You put a frog in it, and it doesn't know. It doesn't sense the change because it's so slow, and then it just boils to death. But we need a move of God. We need a move of the Holy Spirit in our day. I want us to look at a passage that speaks about revival, that speaks about life, new life. And it's John chapter 3. So let's begin at verse 1. Gospel of John chapter 3, verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit." If you have your Bibles, your phones, whatever you use for your Bible, lift it up right now. Lift it up and repeat after me. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. And today my mind is alert. I'm ready to receive His word. And Lord, help Pastor Joe to keep it real simple. In Jesus' name, amen. A couple days ago, I was down in our prayer chapel. I was just having my Bible reading time and praying, and I was just sitting by the window, and our chapel is just the most awesome prayer chapel in the world. So I'm sitting there by the window, just reading my Bible and praying. I felt like the Lord leading me to get into my journal. I keep a journal. I write a journal, and it's not my diary with pink pages and stuff. It's a journal where I record what God has spoken to me. Like if I'm having a prayer time and God speaks something to me or something happens to me or I'm reflecting on my life and I'm reflecting on my ministry and I write those things down. You know, the Bible is a journal. The Bible is a journal. It's God had prophets, his prophets, his apostles write things down that were from him. I really encourage you to keep a journal when God speaks to you. When you read your Bible, have a pad of paper, your phone, or whatever you want to use, and as God speaks things to you, to record those things. So I'm sitting there, and I do a practice of it fairly regularly, especially if I can't sleep at night or something. I'll just pull out my journal, and I'll look back at this day a year ago, or 2 years ago, or 5 years ago, or 10 years ago. And as I'm reading this journal, I'm about ready to spontaneously combust. I mean, I'm just, the things that God spoke to me, I was like, oh, yeah, I forgot that. Whoa! I'm reading another piece of whoa! From 2 years ago, 3 years ago. Oh, wow! Wow, and I'm like practically ready to jump around the chapel dancing. I was just, God was just speaking so many things that I completely forgot about that I was reviewing. It's interesting because in recent days, I've been really seeking the Lord for direction for myself and for our church and, you know, what things to preach and what things to focus on. As I'm reading this, I'm reading a record of download after download from God. And it gave me such clarity, especially these last 3 years. And one of the things that I noticed, so I did the last 3 years, then I went to 4 years, 5 years ago, and 6 years ago. And there was an amazing difference between my journal entries the past 3 years and the entries in the years before that. It's night and day. This time of year in 2016 and before, I was confused. I was depressed. I was directionless. And there was a lot of time that I was taking to try to figure out who I am, what I'm supposed to be doing. But I want you to know that this time in 2016, early February 2016, mid-February, I was not even a thought here in Port Huron. You guys didn't even know who I was. And as for you, in my mind, Port Huron Assembly of God was just, it was there. It was this curiosity because I did hear in my that this church was without a pastor. I wonder where that church is and what's going on there. And, you know, that's about it. So that was 2016 this time. A few months later, everything changed that year. How many of you remember that day? April something, I think the 10th, I don't remember. I came here to fill the pulpit. The district said there was, you know, I had a free Sunday. I was traveling and preaching, but I had a free Sunday. And the district said, why don't you go to Port Huron and preach there? So I came here with my camper. Gene and I decided, hey, since we're going up to Port Huron, we got a campsite at Lakeport, and let's take our camper up. I'll preach, and then we'll go set up camp in the afternoon and just enjoy our Sunday night and Monday. And it snowed. That was at the beginning of service. By the end of service, there's like 3 inches. And that's where the legend of Pastor Joe Elsa Sazik began. Because from that point on, they started calling me Elsa. Because I came back in May. It was like May 15th, the middle of May, and it snowed. Same thing, we brought our camper, and it snowed in May. I don't remember snowing in May since I was a little kid. And it snowed. Now they really called me Elsa. And so I, in case you don't know who Elsa is, Frozen, the Disney movie. So I come back in June. And so I'm up here preaching, and I'm joking with everybody. You guys are all calling me Elsa and stuff. And it's June. It can't snow. All of a sudden, boom, crash. It gets dark outside. It starts hailing. Casey gave me a little statue of Elsa for Christmas. That's what it was. But anyway, kind of strange. But everything changed that year because God is a God of change. God is a God of new beginnings. God is a God of revival. Revival. That's who God is. That's his nature. And that word revival, it might spring up all kinds of thoughts, you know, fire-breathing preacher, falling down, people getting healed, long lines. Revival puts all kinds of pictures in our mind, but what it really means is to revive. Revive. Vive. You know, you've heard the word vivacious. That comes from the Latin word. Vive means life, re-life. You get re-lifed. Amen? God can re-life you. And I was reminded of a phrase that often rolled around in my head back a number of years ago, and I kind of lost it, but it came back, and that phrase was, I am revival. That's who I am. I am revival. You know, you can get shirts, by the way, t-shirts. There's a whole I am revival movement. But that grabbed me one day because I remember thinking, you know, sometimes when we're trying to find our identity, our calling, our ministry, you really have to get away. You have to really focus on that. And the times where I would be able to get away and focus and pray and read the word and look at my journal and things, one of the things that was a consistent thing in my life was revival. I'm always about revival. I'm always, whenever I come to a new church, if the church is dead, I want to bring it back to life. I came to campus ministry, went to U of M. It was dead. It had a legendary past. I said, this thing needs to come back to life. And I come here to Port Huron. There's barely 20, 25 people counting the mice. And I'm saying, this can't be in this great city. This church has to come to life. Revive. That's my calling. That's who I am. I'm a redigger of wells. That's another way I look at it. Where there's a well, it's stopped up. I got to redig it and bring it back to life. That's always followed my life and my ministry. And you know what? Guess what? Not only am I revival, but we are revival. We are revival. This is something that I picked up on, not even consciously, but I picked up on it my first times here just as a guest. I wasn't looking for the pastorate. I wasn't trying to become pastor here. In fact, I did not want to be a pastor ever again. But something stirred. There was a sense that it's in the DNA of this church. There was something about the worship that was happening. That was like, wait, there's something different here. I know it's in the DNA here. Since I first set foot in this church, I saw it in the people, I saw it in the worship. And as I found out later that, and some of you are from the era when this church was in revival, when it was full blown, when there were lines going out the door and down the basement, prayer lines, when there were hundreds of people being touched, people getting saved regularly, saved, filled with the Holy Spirit, that there is a history and a DNA of revival. And I believe it's even in the walls. It's in the furniture. It's in the carpeting. It's the dunamis of God. It's like Elisha. Remember, the prophet Elisha was so full of the power of God, he did miracles, signs, and wonders. When he died, they put his bones in a cave. And one day there was a battle, and the soldier died. And his fellow soldiers took him, and they found this cave, and they threw his body in this cave. And his body, they didn't know it's the cave of Elisha, his grave. And that dead soldier's body touched Elisha's bone, and he sprang up to life again. Because there was so much power in the bones of Elisha. The dunamis is called the dunamis power of God. It's the same thing that when, and we do this here, that Paul had napkins taken off his body when there was a great revival in the city of Ephesus and people were getting healed. The Bible says there were extraordinary miracles. And they would take handkerchiefs off of Paul's body and they would throw them on people and they would get healed instantaneously. That's why when the presence of God is here, and I feel it, and I know he's here, that we did it today, pray over these and take them to people who are sick, because people, the dunamis power of God, and it's literally resident in the very structure of this building because of the things that God has done here. He has been here in his glory. Amen? I think it was our last conference, I had people say, get the dunamis. Let it get in your body. I sat here and I was getting so blasted by the Holy Spirit, just feeling the dunamis power coming off the very walls of this building, the great history. And God's not done. It's who we are. That's who we are to be. Okay, there can be churches. There are all kinds of different churches and they're all great. Praise the Lord. Anybody who worships God, as long as they're worshiping God, I don't care how they worship or what they do, But I know what this church is supposed to be. It's supposed to be a revival center. It's supposed to be where life is restored, where the miraculous is not unusual, but it's happening all the time. Now, Satan tried to kill that revival. Satan tried to snuff out that spirit of revival. He tried to do it in me. I am revival, but I was walking after I had left my church in Dearborn Heights, wandering about kind of aimlessly. I did have some. I was doing this Chi Alpha, the college ministries thing, and I was doing it, but something wasn't right about it, and it wasn't just, things were not meshing. I couldn't understand what was happening. I was just kind of putting one foot in front of the other, just moving, trying to figure out what God wants me to do. I had a friend teach me years ago, a pastor. He said, Joe, God can't steer a ship that's not moving. So at least I was moving. I just said, I'm just going to move. I'm just going to do whatever, you know, and see if God steers me. Well, he steered me. And Satan tried to, I forgot about revival. I forgot I am revival. I'm revival. No, you're not. You're dead. You're depressed. You're right. I'm not revival. I used to be. God, you know, that's happening to a lot of you. Where Satan's trying to quell your destiny, trying to blind you of his purposes in your life. But I got some good news. God is bigger than Satan. Tell your neighbor, God is bigger than Satan. Hallelujah. So, before I develop this a little more and we finish up, I want to talk about you personally. I rediscovered who I am. I have a destiny. I have an identity. I have a calling, and so do you. So I'm going to decree over you right now. I'm going to declare and decree over you, all of you who have an ear to hear and even just willing to hear the Holy Spirit and what the Spirit is saying, that you will come into a revelation of your destiny. You will come into a revelation of your destiny, your identity, and your calling. And your calling doesn't have to be in the church. Some of you are called to be artists. Some of you are called to be business people. Some of you are called to be educators. But I decree over you that you will discover your calling in life. And don't get confused by what others are telling you about you. Watch out for that self-talk in your head that's saying, you're not this, you fall short of this. And find out what God, I just decree that you're going to hear what God's will is. Because here's the thing, as I almost lost my identity, my sense of calling, even the joy of life, I lost the joy of life in that period. But God is the God of revival. So let me add something to this. I am revival. We are revival. And he is revival. That's his very nature. That's who God is. You know what God does? He makes all things new. He revives. He makes all things new. New life. Revive. New beginnings. Hallelujah. And this is the message of the Bible passage that we just read. So let's go back to it real quick here. John 3, verses 1 again. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night. Now let's stop there. So those of you who are here have remember that memorable service that Gene preached during our week of prayer, where she talked about this and how we often get the story wrong. We've been taught that Nicodemus came to Jesus by night because he was scared or he didn't want to be seen. He was a higher up person in the Jewish council and he didn't want to be seen with this controversial figure, Jesus. So he snuck by night to talk to him. But as Jean said, the Lord showed her that that wasn't the case. The Lord showed her that Nicodemus went to Jesus by night so he could get him alone. Because Jesus was constantly, there was a crowd around him. And the only way, Nicodemus had questions. He's seeing what's going on. Something's drawing him to Jesus. But he's got questions. And he knows that, well, maybe at night, if I go to him at night, I'll catch him by myself. And I thought it was so cute how Jean talks about sometimes in her prayer life, she says, Jesus, I need you all alone. I need to talk to you alone. And as for everything up here in the throne room, all you 24 elders, out. You four living creatures, out. You myriads of angels, out. I need to talk to him right now. And so that gave a whole new perspective of this passage. And so I'm looking at this, and as I was reading it a couple weeks ago, you know, once you get revelation, you get more revelation. When you get revelation, more revelation opens up. And so I'm reading this, and reading again from verse 2. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus says to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Let's stop there. Now, I always looked at this kind of like, okay, so Nicodemus snuck at night. He was afraid. He didn't want to be seen. That was wrong. And then I thought this, he's saying, you know, how can a man be born, you know, when he's go back into his mother's womb? How can this be that? He was just being dumb Nicodemus, just old dumb Nicodemus, you know. Just, he's scared and he's dumb. We need to look at him a little bit differently. That's not what was going on in Nicodemus' mind. He was not old and dumb. We don't give him the credit he deserves. What he's saying is, Jesus, I'm old. And how can an old dog learn new tricks? What are you talking about being born again, starting over, new beginnings? I'm old, Jesus. I'm a part of the Jewish council. I've been in this too long. This is all too much. And we might be saying, how can a life be started over? You might be thinking, I've wrecked it. I've wrecked my life. Or I've missed something. I missed my opportunity. Or I've whatever. Or maybe somebody else wrecked your life. You thought, it's over. I wrecked it. How can I start over again? How can I be born again? I can't go back into my mother's womb and start all over and do it all over again. Have you ever, maybe I'm weird. Have you, okay, I know I'm weird. All right. There's too many agreements over here. But have you ever fantasized that you, one day you just wake up and you're 10 years old again, but you know everything that you know now? No, you haven't done that? I am weird, aren't I? Well, I have. I thought, boy, what if one day I wake up, I'm 10 years old, and I know everything I know now? I would be so rich. The stuff I know now, I wish I knew that in college. And before I met that beautiful one, I used to think, boy, I sure would have got a lot more girlfriends. But anyway, we can start over. That's the amazing thing. We got to be careful, though. God can change things. God can make you new. You can be born again and again. I love what Pastor Brett said last Sunday night. He said, Pastor Joe, I know you were my Bible school teacher, and I don't know if this is theologically correct. He said, but you know what? 3 years ago, I was born again. And that can happen to us where God can change things. That happened to me. I was born again. I didn't like lose my salvation and then get saved again, but there was something new that was birthed in me. I was able to start over. My whole life just kind of started over 3 years ago. But you got to be careful when you try to start over or when you start. You know, God can do such radical changes that could freak people out. It can really freak people out. There was a story about this one guy. He was having trouble in his marriage. And he was talking to one of his fellow workers and telling his friend, he said, you know, I'm kind of falling out of love with my wife. We're not getting along, etc. And so the friend said, well, I got a trick. He said, this is what you need to do. Start acting like you're madly in love with her. Even if you feel it or not, just start acting like you're madly in love with her. Do that for a while and watch. You're going to fall in love with her. And that's actually a true principle. That actually works. And so usually he would be at work. He'd get all grimy and dirty. He'd come home. He'd shower. He'd plop in front of the TV set. And, honey, where's dinner? And that was the typical every night. So this day, he decides, he takes his suit to work with him. And after work, instead of showering at home, he takes a shower at work. And he gets all cleaned up and fixed up, and he puts some cologne on. He puts his best suit on. And then he goes over to the florist, and he picks up a bouquet of flowers. He goes to the chocolate shop next door and gets some chocolates. And so he goes home, and instead of going through the back door like he always did, he went to the front door. And he rang the doorbell with his bouquet of flowers and his suit and his tie and his cologne and his hair combed and a box of chocolates. And his wife opens the door. She looks at him and immediately just, ah! And it was not a good, it was a bad cry. And it was, she was, and he's like, I thought this was supposed to work. He's freaked out. He's, what's wrong? What's the matter? What did I do? She goes, I had such a bad day today. It was so horrible at work. And then little Jimmy got thrown out of school. He got suspended. And then I brought him home and the toilet was overflowing. And then I saw that the dog ate all our pillows. And it was such a terrible day. Then you come home drunk. So, yeah, some people can't handle change too well. But God can do radical changes in our lives. Nicodemus says, I'm too old. I don't get this. How can I do it? I can't go back into my mother's womb. I can't start over. But Jesus says, the Spirit, Nicodemus, he can make all things new. He can do anything. And we see as we read on in the next passage, Jesus answered, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. And what he's saying, this is something Nicodemus, the great Jewish council member, would immediately catch what Jesus is saying when he's talking about the wind. Because the word wind in the Greek and in the Hebrew is the same as the word breath. And immediately Nicodemus, as Jesus is talking about the breath of God, is thinking about creation. And as the great commentator Charles Ellicott says, he says, these words are an explanation of the spiritual birth, the necessity of which has been asserted in the previous verses. They must have come to Nicodemus, bringing in their sound echoes of the old familiar words, and the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Genesis 2:7. Imagine that. God took a bunch of dust, but when he breathed his breath on it, it became a living being. So no matter how bad your situation is, no matter how far things have gone down, no matter where what chaos you feel is in your life, the God who can take dust and breathe into it can take your life, breathe into it, and make life revive and revive you. Hallelujah. He knows that this is talking about what happened there in Genesis. So you can't go back to your mother's womb or be revived. God who took dust from the ground, he will make you new. That word is again Genesis. Born again, literally in the Greek, means again Genesis. Now, I was thinking about how crazy my preaching is. It's insane. My preaching is, it's insane. I'm a Belarusian, okay? we're almost as bad as Russians. We come out of the womb depressed. I mean, it's just, we're melancholic, we're negative thinkers. We're doomed, we're never going to make it. You know? We're depressed by nature, you know. I'm a whiner, and I'm a complainer, and I'm an unbeliever, and I'm skeptical of everything. And then I read the Bible, and everything changes. I read this book, and my spirit comes alive. And my very character, my very nature is radically transformed. And I preach it to you guys. What are you going to do with it? The Spirit comes in and illuminates the Bible. Then I hear nothing is impossible. And it's pounding in my spirit. And I believe like a madman. I start believing. And I believe some of you are believing madmen and madwomen. And you're just about crazy enough to believe that God is going to do radical things in your life. And you're just about crazy enough to believe that someday your loved ones are going to be at this altar with their hands up in the air crying because they have found new life in Jesus. The ones that are farthest away from God. Some of you are just about crazy enough to believe that. Some of you are just about crazy enough to believe that, again, there could be lines down this hall going down to the basement for prayer and for salvation and baptism of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. As Pastor Brett, again, what a great message last Sunday night. Are you going to be believing believers? Are you just believers? Or are you going to be believing believers? Nicodemus was still having a hard time. I'm wrapping up here. Nicodemus was having a hard time with all this. He struggled with unbelief. Nicodemus isn't saying, I'm confused, Jesus. I still don't get it. No, what he's saying is, I get it. I just can't believe it. And in verse 9, Nicodemus answered and said to him, how can these things be? Don't mess with me, Jesus, really. And Jesus answered and said to him, are you the teacher of Israel and you don't know these things? Now that also points to something. Because he was a teacher in Israel. And he is of a people who saw the Red Sea opened wide with a dry path for all the people to walk through. He comes from a people that saw plagues come upon the greatest power on the earth, the greatest empire, to see his people delivered. He comes from a people who had bread fall out of heaven and feed them every day in the desert. He comes from a people that had water coming out of a rock to give them something to drink. Are you with me? He comes from a people who saw the sun move backwards during a battle so that the battle could be finished by the Israelites. That's the people he came from. And he says, Nicodemus, have you forgotten who your God is? Have you forgotten what your God is able to do? Nicodemus was struggling with unbelief. Well, Jesus answered, most assuredly, I say to you, we speak what we know and we testify what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. See, seeing is believing for the average person. And we'll only make claims on what we see for sure in front of us. But it needs to be the other way. We need to believe in order to see. We need to call those things which are not as though they were. These two brothers from Ohio said, man can fly. And everybody was telling them, no, they can't. If we were meant to fly, God would have given us wings. But these brothers saw something because they believed. And then it became a reality. Now we've sent people to the moon and we're talking about Mars. Come on. Sometimes you got to believe before you see. And some people have believed before they've seen. Verse 12, if I've told you earthly things and you do not believe. How will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven, that is, the Son of Man who is in heaven. So Jesus is talking about himself. He says, Nicodemus, I've been to heaven. I'm from heaven. I've seen it all. It's all real. I know what I'm talking about. And when we have the Holy Spirit inside us, reworking us, recreating us, the Holy Spirit who's also been in heaven and is in heaven, we will see. We will see from heaven's perspective. We will see that nothing is impossible. We will see that God is the God of revival. He makes all things new. Are we? And here's the question. Are we going to be people of revival? Are we going to be people of revival? Are we going to pray for revival? Are we going to believe God for it? Do we see it and believe it before we see it with our physical eyes? Will we see it? He makes all things new. Do we see God as the God of revival? Are we going to be those people? Are we going to believe what the prophet Bob Jones said? Not the Bob Jones of Bob Jones University. This is a different Bob Jones that prophesied that there was coming a billion soul revival to the earth. Are we going to believe for that? I am. Are we going to work for it? Are we ready to see a generation that has not yet seen revival? Our kids, they've had tastes with our revival meetings. And have you seen them? Have you seen how they soak it up? Have you seen how it stirs them up for God? Have you seen, have you heard, maybe you haven't heard how they're witnesses in their school and in the restaurants and everywhere else. Because they've tasted of revival. There's so many of us that have not really experienced revival yet. And God wants the generations to be revived. But first, we must be revived. We need the Holy Spirit. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And I believe that as we're revived by His Spirit, we'll see victory manifested in us. And the revival, if we're revived, it's going to spill out to those around us. And they're going to come into encounters with Jesus and the Holy Spirit. And they come to new life, and then they reach others. That's what needs to happen. Are you born again? Yep, Pastor, I'm born again. Are you born again again? Are you born again, born again? Today, I just challenge us to be people of revival. The prophets have spoken to me and to our church. This is to be a revival center. And this last week, I remembered that. And we need to come back to that. We need to press through till we see it fully manifested. Amen? Guys, just starting. But it starts with you. Where are you? Can we just bow our heads right now? I want you to just take a couple seconds here. And a couple questions. Number one, if you're already a believer, you're a Christian, you've accepted Jesus in your life, but you say, Pastor, something's stirring in me. I want to be born again. I want to be revived. I want to be revived. I want a fresh touch of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. If that's you, say, Pastor, I'm a believer, I'm a Christian, but something spoke to me today, and I want to be revived. Would you raise your hand? I just need to be revived. Thank you. You can put it down. Anybody else? Thank you. Anybody else? I need to be revived, Pastor, because God sees these hands, and I believe He's going to respond. Thank you. You can put it down. Thank you. Anybody else? I need to be revived. I need to be born again. Lord, you see these hands. God, I just pray that you would stir their hearts and awaken them. I pray that in these next days, I see in my spirit just almost like an ember has been put inside your spirits, and that it's just going to get hotter and hotter, and it's just going to work its way and work in you in the next days, the next hours, the next days, just stirring and reawakening you. Just be in the Word. Be in the Word and believe His Word. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Now I ask another question. I say, Pastor, I really have never been born again in the first place. I just need to be born again. I need to start over. I don't have a personal relationship with Jesus, but I'd like to start one. And you know, you can't do this on your own. You have to have the help of His Holy Spirit. Just like Jesus was saying to Nicodemus, it's by the Spirit. The Spirit has to come in. You've got to be born of water and of the Spirit. And if you haven't really experienced that spiritual rebirth, but you're saying, Pastor, I'm at a place where I think I'm ready for this, and I need that spiritual rebirth. Anybody here, and you'd say, that's me, Pastor, just raise your hand real quick. Anybody? Because I want to pray for you. Anybody? Thank you. Anybody else? Lord, I pray You reveal Yourself in a new way, in a fresh way. God, that there will come that connection with You. Hallelujah. And Lord, for those that have raised their hands to be revived, I thank You for them. I thank You for their heart, God. Stir and awaken all of us. Thank You, Lord. Worship team, if you guys can come on up and just, can we do, there is a fountain. There is a river. And I want to just open up the altars again. I know we had a time for healing, but if you would like to come forward and just receive some prayer, and I'd like some of our elders that are here, Joel, Pam, and Ed, you're welcome to come. But if you'd like to, and just stand with me, if you'd like to receive some prayer about just being revived, coming to the fountain, and getting a refreshing in your life, can we all stand, please? I want to invite you to come to the altar, spend some time. The worship team's going to be worshiping for a little bit, and it's good to just stay in the presence of the Lord. You might even want to come up just to worship. You don't necessarily need prayer, but you like to come up and worship a little bit. Well, come on up and do that. Let this thing sink in your heart. Let it really be established in your heart. And otherwise, if you need to go, God bless you. Thanks so much for coming. And also on your little form there, if you want to know more about accepting Jesus, just check that off.